So I'm going to drop an anchor text for you this morning, and it's found in Nehemiah chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 3 and 4, and then I'm going to drop down, and I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. This is what the word of the Lord says in Nehemiah 6, 3 and 4. It says, "And I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave and come down to you? And they sent to me four times in this way, and I answered them in the same manner." Dropping down to Nehemiah 6, verses 8 and 9, says, "I replied, there is no truth in any part of your story. You are making up the whole thing." They were just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work. So I continued the work with even greater determination. Church, let me pray with you as we just continue to welcome the Lord in this place. Father, we thank you so much for the promises that is in your word. God, I pray right now that through the foolishness of preaching, God, you would be the lifter of our head. God, I pray that you would help me to yield this sword skillfully. God, I pray that it would pierce our hearts and that it would ultimately heal our heart to make us more like you, so we can walk this walk with you and for you courageously and boldly, God, so that we can walk into our purpose and our destiny, and God, make your kingdom fruitful. God, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. This church said, amen and amen. So as I read that passage of text, there may be some of you that are familiar with that story. Maybe you're familiar with that passage of text. Maybe you're not. That's okay. So let me share with you what is going on. So in that passage of text, Nehemiah has an unction from God to go back into Jerusalem, which had been destroyed by enemy armies. And the people of God, which were the Hebrew people, they had spent a considerable amount of time under Babylonian captivity. So Nehemiah, he was the cupbearer to the king of Babylon, and he requested permission to go back into Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. And it was amazing. It was incredible. It was just nothing short of amazing what God did through the leadership of Nehemiah. Because through his leadership, he rebuilt the wall in 52 days. Just 52 days. Just amazing. But while he was going through that process, while he was following the mission that he felt like God had laid on his heart, he encountered a number of people who didn't like what he was trying to do. In fact, there were a number of people that tried to intimidate him. They tried to stop him from carrying on the work that God had for him. They didn't like it. Man, it just kind of reminds me of our life, that so many times when we're trying to walk out our plan, our call, our destiny, or just even trying to figure things out, it's just like so many times, man, haters are going to hate. Tell your neighbor, haters are going to hate. Haters are going to hate. So there were so many people that were trying to stop the work in Nehemiah's life, and they were trying to put a stop to it. So what did Nehemiah do? He made a decision to talk back to the enemy. He made a decision to talk back to the enemy. So looking again at Nehemiah 6:9, he says, "They were just trying to intimidate us." Just trying to intimidate us. And then in verse 8, this is what he tells them. He says, "There is no truth." Tell your neighbor, no truth. "There is no truth in any part of your story. You are making up the whole thing." Man, I want to talk to you this morning about a little subject that I like to call, "It's All Made Up." Tell your neighbor, it's all made up. It's all made up. Tell somebody else, encourage them, it's all made up. It is all made up. Because here's the deal. The enemy wants to make up things just to get in your head. He's just trying to make up things to get into your head. And so the first thing that I want you to understand this morning is that the enemy wants to intimidate you. He wants to intimidate you. Maybe there's been moments in your life where you have felt intimidated. Maybe there's been leaders or bosses in your life that they were not very approachable, and you just felt like they were intimidating. Maybe there were moments in your life that you felt like you didn't measure up or you didn't have what it takes. I don't know, maybe it's through athletics. Maybe it was in the classroom. Maybe it's at your job. You just felt like you didn't have what it takes, and you didn't measure up to some other people. You didn't feel like you were good enough. and you were intimidated. Maybe you are intimidated when you are chasing the dream and the purpose that God has for you in your life and your family. Maybe you don't feel qualified. Maybe you feel like you don't have the resources, or you don't know the right people, or you don't have what it takes, and we just feel intimidated. So if this morning, there are a few things that I want you to understand about intimidation. And the first thing is, we need to know that intimidation, it is a spirit. Intimidation is a spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7 teaches us this: for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. I want us to read that together. Ready? Begin. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Listen, intimidation is the spirit of timidity, and you should not give in. We should never give in to the spirit of intimidation or the spirit of timidity, because I believe with all of my heart that God has not designed you to be a timid person. He has not designed you to give in to intimidation. He has not designed you to fear the future. He has not designed you to be intimidated. And if you have that feeling in any aspect of your life, if you have that feeling of intimidation, wrestling with that spirit of timidity, you need to know that is not from God. Intimidation is not from God. That's the second thing you need to know about intimidation. Intimidation is not from God. Listen, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. The Bible says we wrestle against principalities and powers of the air. You know, when we are dealing with people, it's not always that we are dealing with their hard personality or their tough personality. We are wrestling with the spirit that is backing their personality. We're wrestling with the spirit that is wrestling and backing their personality. And so when we feel intimidated, we understand that intimidation, it can have a paralyzing effect. It can have a paralyzing effect. Maybe you're intimidated when you are dealing with someone that is more influential than you. Maybe you feel intimidated when you have friendships or relationships or loved ones that you know you need to have hard conversations with, but you are just dreading the hard conversation. You don't want to have the hard conversation because you are so afraid of what the outcome could be, and you are intimidated, and that intimidation just paralyzes you and it stops you in your tracks. Maybe God has called you to a certain area of ministry. Maybe God has placed a dream on your heart, but for whatever reason, intimidation creeps in and we become paralyzed and we just get stopped right in our tracks and we don't know which way to move next. But intimidation can have a paralyzing effect. The other thing you need to know about intimidation is that intimidation produces insecurity. It produces insecurity. And many times we feel less than secure. Many times we feel less than others. Many times we just feel less than, don't feel like we measure up, not qualified. But whatever the case, intimidation produces insecurity. And it's like this downward spiral just keeps happening. And when we let intimidation produce this insecurity, and we let this insecurity just dwell in our life, insecurity will eventually breed anxiety. And anxiety in of itself is a spirit as well. Intimidation will breed anxiety. Listen, the enemy is just making stuff up to discourage you. He's just making stuff up to discourage you. So what is he saying? What's he whispering in your ears? What are those thoughts that he's putting in your head? Maybe he's saying that when you are sick, that you're not going to be healed. Maybe you have a family member that is sick and he's whispering that they can't be healed. Maybe he's whispering things like, you will not live. You are going to die. Maybe you feel like more people are against you than people that are for you. Maybe you feel like there is no way you are going to get out of the financial crisis you are facing. Maybe you feel like there is no way to overcome the relationship issues that you are having. Maybe you feel that there is no joy on the other side of the depression you are facing. What is the enemy saying to you? What's he whispering to you? What's he making up? What's he putting in your head? And we deal with anxiety. And then anxiety gives birth to discouragement in our life. I want you to look again at that verse, Nehemiah 6:9. It says, they were just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could discourage us. I feel like that's the enemy this morning. He's just trying to intimidate us, and he's only imagining that he can discourage us. I also want you to know today that the enemy wants to discourage you. He wants to discourage you. We know that the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. We know that. And in that process, he wants to discourage you. Intimidation comes from the enemy. And if it stays in your life, you will become overwhelmingly discouraged. You'll become overwhelmingly discouraged. And you need to know about discouragement, that discouragement is not from God. Tell your neighbor, discouragement is not from God. Tell somebody else, discouragement is not from God. Because when we give in to discouragement, it results in a loss of confidence. It also results in a loss of courage. You know, one commentator wrote in a commentary with a biblical overview of discouragement. He said this. He said, discouragement is a sense of unhappiness arising from a loss of confidence in one's own abilities, in the reliability of God, or in the power of the gospel. Discouragement can occur in the Christian life, especially when there is resistance to the gospel or in instances of personal failure. I think that happens so many times because we know what to do, we know what is right, and we choose to do wrong. But anyway, discouragement comes into our life. And when we are dealing with encouragement, I want you to know this morning that the Bible gives us several examples just all throughout the Bible of individuals and even nations and even groups of people as a whole that dealt with discouragement. And so the Bible shows us a few things. It shows us that in experiences of discouragement, I can't help but to think of 1 Samuel 17 when the Israelite people, they were faced with Goliath. Man, they were facing him. He was blaspheming God. He was cursing God. He was cursing them. He was challenging them. They got intimidated. They got scared. They got paralyzed. Man, they would not move. And then come along a little shepherd boy by the name of David, who had a call on his life, who had an anointing on his life, who did not fear. But the Israelite people, they were discouraged. And David had courage in the moment when everybody else around him was so discouraged. I also believe that the Bible shows us prayers of discouragement. And when individuals had discouragement, they had prayers. In Psalms 31, we read about David. And in fact, if you read through the book of Psalms, it's almost like David himself. He was an emotional roller coaster. He would be on these highs. He would worship God. He would sing songs. He would pray. And then in the very next chapters, you would find him. He was just down. He was out. He was crying. He was discouraged. But specifically in Psalms 31, it shows us that David reached a place where he was so discouraged. He even let God know that I'm distressed. I'm discouraged. I have been crying. I've cried so much that my eyes are in pain and my eyes look swollen. He cried so much. He was wrestling with discouragement. You know, I find it so intriguing how the enemy can work in our life, because David was at a point in his life as a young boy where he had so much courage that he took on a giant where an entire army wouldn't take him on. But later on, as he grew in his life and what God had called him to do, he would face discouragement, that he himself had moments where he was discouraged. The Bible also teaches us about the life of David, that he had to make a decision at some points in his life that he said, I encourage myself in the Lord. Sometimes we got to stop. We got to take a look at our life. We got to realize that the enemy is making stuff up. And I pray that you'll be like a David, that you'll rise with boldness and you can declare, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. I don't need a pat on the back. I don't necessarily always need a prayer for somebody else, but I'm going to proclaim the word of Jesus Christ, and that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Sometimes you got to encourage yourself. Tell your neighbor, encourage yourself. Come on, encourage yourself. Sometimes you got to encourage yourself. The Bible also shows us and gives us general warnings not to discourage others. So many times, whether intentionally or unintentionally, we can discourage others. And so the Bible teaches us and gives us warnings not to discourage others. Ephesians 4:29 says this, don't use foul or abusive language. Don't use foul or abusive language. Go ahead and elbow your neighbor. You know you want to. Help them, Jesus. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Let your words be an encouragement to those who hear them. Listen, never be a part of discouraging others, because that spirit is not of God. Never be a part of discouraging others. That spirit, it's not of God. Make a decision to be a people in the form of encouragement. Make a decision to live your life with a desire to encourage others. I believe many times in life, we probably don't receive the encouragement we feel like we need because maybe we are not encouraging others enough. Make a decision to be a people that live in a form of encouragement. The Bible also teaches us with examples that we need to stand with the discouraged. We need to stand with the discouraged. Romans 12:15 says this, "Be happy with those who are happy, and weep with those who weep." Proverbs 17:22 teaches us, "A joyful heart is good medicine." A joyful heart is good medicine. Who's it joyful for? Who's it good medicine for? It's good for you, and it's good for everybody else that you will encounter. A joyful heart is good medicine. I loved it that several years ago, before Three Trees had evolved into several locations, went back in the day when it was just one location, and we were called Higher Praise at the time, we kind of had this slogan, and that slogan or saying, it was encouraging the discouraged. We would put it on church signs. We would put it on websites. That was our saying back then, and encouraging the discouraged. And it led people into the house of the Lord. But I want to encourage you this morning. Make a decision in your life to be a person who will encourage the discouraged. Always make a decision. Walk it out in your life to encourage the discouraged. Man, I want to encourage you this morning. And I want to ask you again, what has the enemy been making up, and what has he been telling you? Because it's all made up. It is all made up. What's he been saying to you? What's he making up? What are the thoughts that he's putting in your life? Maybe he's whispering things like, you're not a good person, not a good wife, not a good husband, not a good parent, not a good family member. Maybe he whispers things like, you're not a good leader. Maybe he whispers things like, you're not going to be successful. Maybe you are a college student in this place, and he's whispering things like, you're not going to make it, you're not going to pass, you're not going to get an education, you're never going to make it, you're never going to launch the business that you're dreaming of, you're never going to walk into the career that God has for you. What's he whispering, and what's he making up, putting in your head? Maybe he's whispering things like, God can't use you, or you're not going to make it. Maybe he's whispering lies of, there is no hope on the other side of the battle that you are fighting or the situation that you are facing. Listen, I just want to let you know this morning, it's all made up. Tell your neighbor again, it's all made up. It is all made up. Because here's the deal. When you listen to the stuff the enemy makes up, it's only real when you believe it. When you listen to the stuff the enemy makes up, it is only real when you believe it. And I want to encourage you with some scripture this morning that can combat the stuff the enemy is making up. And if you are around here long enough, you are going to hear our pastors preach Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who or what can be against us? Come on, somebody. If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:35-39 goes on to say, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or we're hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Verse 37 says, no, despite all these things, all these things. Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. He goes on in 38, Paul says, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. What's he whispering to you? Because nothing can separate you from the love of God. Man, no enemy, no danger, no situation, no sin can separate you from his love. I want somebody to give God praise for his power in your life, for God's grace, for his authority, for the life that he gives us. Come on, somebody. Praise Jesus. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Looking again at Nehemiah 6:9, they were just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work. I want you to check that out. Stop the work. The last thing I want you to catch this morning is that the enemy wants to stop the work in your life. God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has a destiny. God has a calling. God has anointing for you. And the enemy wants to stop the work. He's after what you are called to do. He's after the work and the ministry and the life you are called to live. He's after all. He wants to stop the work. Maybe he is after the works of your life. Maybe he's trying to stop you from spreading the gospel. Maybe he's trying to stop the works of serving in the house of the Lord and serving people in community. Maybe he's trying to stop the works of your generosity and giving and sowing into the kingdom of God. Maybe he's trying to stop the works of you finding needs and meeting needs. Maybe he's trying to stop the works of just us encouraging one another, building one another up, doing life together in community and in small groups. Maybe he's trying to stop the work. Maybe he's trying to just stop the works of your discipline and your growth in God and you hearing the voice of God and heeding to the word of God. He's trying to stop the work. Maybe you are trying to launch a business. Maybe you're trying to walk into your career in that calling. He just wants to stop the work that he makes stuff up. He wants to stop you. But again, I want us to learn from Nehemiah 6:9. They were just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work. But watch this. I love what Nehemiah says. So I continued the work with even greater determination. Come on, encourage your neighbor and tell him, continue the work. Come on, encourage somebody and tell them, continue the work. I'm encouraging you to continue the work with even greater determination in your life. Continue the work. He might be discouraging you. He might be lying to you. He may be trying to intimidate you and fill you with anxiety. But I'm encouraging you this morning through the unction and the authority of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Continue the work. Come on, tell your neighbor, continue the work. Continue the work. Continue the work and do it with greater determination than you ever have before. As Corey and the band, as they come to the music, there is a great work that God has for you. There is a work that he's trying to do in your life. He's trying to work in you, and he wants to work through you. Why? Because you were found to find. And you were saved to serve. He's called you to make a difference in the kingdom of God and in the lives of other people. And you got to understand that the thing of which you are a part is greater than the part you play. The thing of which you are a part is greater than the part that you play. We just got to make up our mind, and we got to make a decision and know, hey, God has big plans for me. God has destiny for me, and it's important for me to play my part. It's important for me to play my role. God has big plans for me, and God wants to use me beyond my dreams, beyond my expectations. And the enemy, he's just trying. He's just trying. He can't do it. He can only try to do it. He's just trying to intimidate you, to discourage you, and to stop the work. They don't have this verse, but I find it so amazing that when you read through Nehemiah 6, you can check this out on your own. When you get to verse 16, Nehemiah had so much confidence in the mission, in the call, and the destiny that God had given him. Not only did he complete the work in 52 days, just an amazing, amazing demonstration of leadership. But after it was all said and done, and he worked with greater determination than ever before, and the work was completed. I love what the Bible says in verse 16 of 6:16 in Nehemiah. It lets us know that when the enemies heard about all of this, that even surrounding nations lost their self-confidence because the work had been done through the help of our God. Even surrounding nations lost their self-confidence because they realized the work had been done through the help of our God. Listen, all those haters in your life, all those naysayers in your life, all those lies in your mind, all those doubts in your mind, they are going to fall and submit to the voice of Jesus Christ. And those things are going to lose self-confidence because of the work that God will complete in your life. Come on, give God praise this morning. Come on, if you are thankful for God who completes the work in you and through you. I want you to stand with me all across this room. I want you to bow your heads for a few moments. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to evaluate your heart this morning. I want you to ask God, God, what are you trying to speak to me? Go ahead, ask him. God, what are you trying to speak to me? What are you trying to say to me? And no matter what situation you're facing, no matter what intimidation you may feel, what discouragement you may feel, I'm here to let you know that it's time to declare, I will not be intimidated. Come on, evaluate your heart. Look at those things that's trying to intimidate you, discourage you. What's causing anxiety? All the lies of the enemy, the stuff he's making up, make a decision through the power of Jesus Christ. I will not be intimidated. Why? Because of the promises of the word of God in 2 Timothy 1:17. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, of love, and self-discipline. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. For God has not given you a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. With every head bowed, every eye closed, maybe you're in this place and maybe you can say, Pastor, I hear everything you're saying this morning, but I have been struggling. I have faced intimidation. I have been discouraged. I even have anxiety in my life. And this morning, I'm ready to surrender it to Jesus. And I'm ready to send those things back to hell where it came from. If that's you and you need a fresh start this morning, I just want you to lift your hand. If you've been battling intimidation, maybe you've felt anxiety, maybe you have felt discouragement, maybe you feel like the enemy is whispering lies to you and making stuff up, just lift your hand for a fresh start in Jesus Christ. Man, that hand is an international sign of surrender. Keep those hands raised. Come on, lift it up. Surrender it to God. Maybe you're facing intimidation, discouragement, anxiety. You're ready to let it go. You're ready to give it to God. You're ready to surrender it for a fresh start in Jesus Christ. And you're going to declare that I will not be intimidated. Maybe you're here this morning and for the first time, you've been separated from God. You've never surrendered your life to Him, but you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time. If that's you and that speaks to your life, I just want you to lift your hand this morning and give you a chance to surrender to God. Amen. Amen. I want everybody to put your hand over your heart this morning. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray for you. I encourage you to talk to God in your own way this morning. Surrender to Him those intimidations. Surrender to Him all the stuff that is made up from the enemy. Surrender to Him the discouragement. Surrender to Him the anxiety. Surrender to Him the timidity that you have been facing. And simply just surrender your heart and your life to Jesus and experience a fresh start in Him. Father, I thank You so much for the promises of Your Word. God, I thank You for who You are. Jesus, we thank You that You gave Your life on a cross of Calvary. God, that Your blood was shed and Your body was broken so that we could receive forgiveness and healing in our life. And right now, through the power and the unction of Your Spirit and the Holy Ghost, we just pray for a supernatural empowerment to overcome every spirit of timidity, every bit of intimidation, every anxiety, every discouragement. We lay it at the foot of Your cross right now, and we receive Your grace and Your forgiveness, because Jesus, we thank You that You gave us grace, and Your grace always wins, and Your grace gives us a chance to begin again. So we surrender our life to You. For those that are here and they're surrendering their life to You for the first time, God, I pray right now, God, that You would help them and grow them in boldness and courageousness to walk out this life for You. God, I pray You hook them up with kingdom connections and divine appointments, that they'll be able to walk in Your grace and Your favor. But God, we surrender to You right now. We thank You for a fresh start. We thank You that through Your blood and Your power that we can overcome all the stuff the enemy is making up. And God, right now, we proclaim power, love, and self-discipline. We proclaim power, love, and self-discipline through the power and authority of Jesus Christ. We thank You. We praise You in Jesus' name. This church said, amen.